This is part two of the 23rd recording on page 214. This chapter is a little longer, and this one's called The Poor One, Al-Faqir, and it's previously published in The Path to Allah Most High in page 108 of that book. The Poor One, Al-Faqir. O mankind, you are the poor before God, and God is the rich, the owner of praise. Quran 35:15. The faqir is the one who needs everything in the sense that the thing is named Allah and nothing needs him. There is no station above the station of complete slavehood. This is the absolute slave who has no trace of lordship in him. The slave has in him traces of lordship from the side of his nafs and total slavery from the side of his original creation. Allah says, I have created jinn and humankind only that they may serve me. These people accept only the state and station and decision that Allah makes for them. The poor, al-fuqara, in their essence are complete in their creation, and they have no share in richness. The rich person in his state is also perfect in his creation, but has no share in poverty. So it cannot be said that the rich and thankful person is better than the poor and patient, or vice versa. Poverty is an attribute of the creatures, and richness is an attribute of Al-Haq. And comparison cannot be made between the attribute of the creatures and the attribute of the Creator. Comparison between the two is incorrect, just as no comparison is right between the Creator and the created. It is preferable to say poor for Allah rather than rich by Allah. If we turn our attention to your attributes, then you are needy for Allah, but if we turn our attention to His attributes, then you are rich by Allah. These two states follow one another with the knowers of Allah. Sometimes they are rich by Allah, and you can see the evidence of divine care, and sometimes they are poor and needy for Allah. When the beloveds of Allah are overtaken with richness by Allah, they spend everything in the way of Allah for the care of the poor and needy, hoping for Allah's pleasure. And when they are overtaken by poverty, they are patient and give thanks, and they tie stones against their bellies to counteract the effects of hunger. The attributes of lordship are four: riches, glory, power, and knowledge. And the qualities of the slave are poverty and humility and weakness and ignorance. The attributes of lordship are to be hidden in you, and the qualities of servitude are to appear. So inwardly you are rich and glorified, and you are mighty and knowledgeable by Allah. And outwardly you are poor and you are debased, and you are weak and you are ignorant. Allah prohibits you from claiming what is not yours, especially from claiming His attributes when He is the Lord of all creation. He is jealous of His attributes, and He has prohibited us from displaying His qualities outwardly or from claiming them. Allah, exalted is He, said, "Pride is my cloak, greatness is my robe, and he who competes with me with respect to either of them, I shall strike." When Musa, to whom Allah had spoken directly, was asked, "Is there anyone who knows better than you do?" He said, "No." So Allah disciplined him by making him a disciple of Master Al-Khidr, peace be upon him, who commanded and prohibited him. That was because Musa showed a sign of greatness, and Allah turned him back to the state of servitude. If you claim what is not yours, he will strip you of what you have. If you recognize the quality of servitude in yourself and grant his divine quality, he will grant you what you are lacking. Servitude to Allah is freedom. And if you realize your inward qualities, some strains will manifest. The ignorant will think that this is by choice, which is not so. These are strains emanating from the force of the inner qualities which cannot be contained. Some of this can be understood to be expressing the bounties of Allah, and some are useful in guiding others on the path. That is what happened to Sheikh Zarrukh when the signs of the inner force appeared on him with one of the friends of Allah Awliya. The footnote, Ahmad Zarrukh al-Barnusi al-Fasi, the Sufi, was born in 1442 AD. He became a devoted disciple of the friend al-Zaytuni, claiming that no one loved his master more than he did. It was his master's intention to put his followers' sincerity to the test. When he visited him one day, he knocked on the door and received permission to enter. When he stepped inside, he did not find anyone, and he climbed the stairs to another room. To his surprise, he saw his master sitting between two adorned women, kissing one and then the other. "This man's really a heretic," said Zarrukh to himself, and he turned away. "Come back, O liar, Ahmad," the master called. And Zarrukh looked back. He did not find women there. The master explained, "The woman you saw on my right was the hereafter, al-Akhira. The other one on my left was ad-Dunya. You were a liar in claiming that you love me." The secret of this spirit is that it came from the world of glory and power. In it there is a trace of divine breath. When it was placed on this body, it was veiled and subdued, so it wanted to return to its origin through the gateway of humility, poverty, and being broken. So it returned to its origin of power, glory, and freedom, but it was ordered to keep that inside. And it did, but some of it spilled over to the outside. A sincere fakir has nothing. He neither owns nor is owned, and he does not feel, nor is he enriched by anything other than Allah. A righteous man said, "I had money. I saw a poor man in the mosque. He hadn't eaten for days and had torn clothes on. I gave him some money, but he was startled and threw the money back to the ground and said, 'I have bought this session with my Lord with all that I had, and now you are spoiling it.' Then he left and I collected the money. By Allah, I have never seen a more honorable man than him, nor a more humiliated man than me as when I was collecting the money. Know that the station that the fakir occupies allows him to give without wanting in return. Alms are for the poor, and alms cannot be given as a reward for action. And nothing do ye spend in the least in his cause, but he places it. If man closes the gate of giving for himself, then his heart will be filled with fear of poverty. Nay, but man doth transgress all bounds, in that he looks upon himself as self-sufficient. So he transgresses in his wealth. But if he gives to the poor will be hopeful. You should know that the patient poor with Allah are better than the grateful rich, and the grateful poor are better than both. He gave to each created thing its form and then gave its guidance. He gave you what is good for you, so the person who occupies this station finds nothing to ask Allah for. The asking of Allah that is permitted by the Sharia is for those who do not have this witnessing. Allah saw these people without witnessing, asking other than him, so divine jealousy permitted them to ask of him. This is for the people of the veil. The people of unveiling see in the reality that he is the one who is always asked. So Allah has informed us that we are all in need of him. Allah said, O people, it is you who have need of Allah. Allah is self-sufficient and praiseworthy. You should know that Allah praised the patient poor with that which he praised the grateful rich. He found that they are both one. Truly we found him full of patience and constancy. How excellent is the servant, ever did he return to us. The poor who have need of Allah are the same as the rich, because he exalted as he is the rich. Allah does not bring a poor person nearer to him just because he is poor. Neither does he distance a rich person just because of his wealth. These are conditions that are of no concern to Allah. Had you spent everything that is in this world and the next, this would not draw you closer to Allah. And had you taken it all, this would not distance you from Allah. He brings close whomever he wills without cause, and he cuts off whomever he wills without cause. Know that if he makes you self-sufficient, he puts you far away in your nearness, and if he makes you needy, he brings you close in your distance from him. If a person is complete, he has two faces. One face showing neediness for Allah and one face showing self-sufficiency or no need for the world. So he faces the world with self-sufficiency and he faces his Lord with sheer need for him. With Allah, he is always poor and needy and humble. With or toward the world, he is noble and rich and powerful. He who tastes the state of not having need of the world, which he sees as world, has an abundant share of divine richness, but he still is veiled from the highest station because he witnesses the world. Had he witnessed al-Haq in seeing the world, then he would have reached the highest station, which is to always stay in poverty for Allah. And this gives him a continuous presence with his Lord. Richness is always exalted by the public at large, and those who carry this quality are exalted by people. Therefore, the elect hold on to poverty, and this is what gives them nobility, for it gives them continuous witnessing of their Lord. The attribute of richness or self-sufficiency is an essential attribute of al-Haq. And poverty is an essential attribute of the slave. So one of the friends of Allah in his prayers to Allah said, You whose nearness is distance. Meaning some people try to come close to Allah through the attribute of wealth. Even though this wealth may be from Allah, it distances them from Allah because of their holding on to an attribute that is not theirs. Know that if Allah gives you wealth, he distances you from your essential attribute, meaning poverty. So he distances you from your attribute even though you are exceedingly close to him because of his having enriched you. If he gives you poverty, then he brings you close to your essential attribute in your distance. That is your distance from his attribute of wealth. This indicates among the knowers that the attribute of neediness for Allah is a higher station than the attribute of richness by Allah. He's the first and the last. He's the evident and the hidden, and he is all of existence. He's the evident in the sense that no one else is there except him. He is hidden from you insofar as the intellect cannot grasp his essence, nor can he be seen in this world. None can keep back his decree over his worshippers and servants. He manifested himself in the form of everything. We cannot see him because he is too evident and too close. Be it known to you that the identity of the truth is the hearing and the sight of the servant and all his powers. The servant is nothing but in his powers. He exists only by virtue of the truth. His appearance is a limited, created image, and the identity of his hidden part is the truth, which is limitless. He celebrates his praise. As for the hidden, he celebrates the praise of himself. My servant celebrates my praise. That is, I celebrated the praise of myself in the image of my servant. The world is hidden, unseen, and manifest. What is kept from the scholar is hidden. The heart belongs to the realm of the hidden, and what the scholar can see of the world is manifest. It is all manifest for Allah. The appearance of all that cannot be appreciated unless it is manifest. There is a difference between the one who says, I learned, and the one who says, I saw with my own eyes. These witnessers are the people of the night in particular. The night is part of the hidden. Allah made night for those he loves and the hidden for himself. They are a goodly body for Allah. They are honored by him. The people of the night gain a place of privacy. A lover likes to have privacy with his beloved. A law says, I rehearse my book by my tongue, and he listens. If he pauses upon seeing it, then he drifts away from me in his intellect. A law stops me and says, night is for me. The Quran is being rehearsed. This servant at dawn seeks a living, and then I open a gate between me and him, and so that he may look at me while people are unaware, and I talk to him. The evidence of that is that of which there is no evidence without him. Allah is the eye of the existence of things. He's not the eye of things. He enters himself under the rules he decrees to his worshippers. I prohibited injustice. The first appearance for him was by names, and the first to bear those names was the Messenger of Allah. May the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, the perfect human being. He who looks at him, it is as if he were looking at Allah. The Messenger of Allah, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, said, he who sees me sees the truth. Verily those who pledge their loyalty to thee pledge their loyalty and truth to Allah. He who obeys the Messenger obeys Allah. Then scholars are heirs of prophets. Some inherited their knowledge and some inherited their conditions, and some combined both knowledge and condition. So he who sees these inheritors sees Allah who manifested himself to them. There's no difference between looking at the Quran and looking at the Messenger of Allah. May the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him. He who follows the Quran will have the qualities of Muhammad. So when you say, peace be upon you, Messenger of Allah, you say it addressing the presence, not addressing something absent. Allah created Adam on his own form. He has stability in his outward, or you could say that he is fixed in his manifest dimension, and his presence is continuous. What was evident of him, as-sifat, and was varying in his inner self, is the appearance of the inward. He has stability in his inward and variance in his outward. So the inward truth is the essence of the outward of the human, and the apparent truth is the essence of the inward human. He has variation in his non-manifest dimension, the inward or hidden, while he is fixed in his manifest dimension, the outward or apparent. In other words, nothing is ever added to his manifest dimension, but he does not remain in a single state in his non-manifest dimension, so he possesses both the variation and fixity. But the real is described as the manifest, the outer or apparent, and the non-manifest, the inner or hidden. The manifest possesses variation, while the non-manifest possesses fixity. So the non-manifest is the same as the manifest dimension of Adam, and the manifest real is the same as the non-manifest dimension of Adam. So the human being is like an ordinary mirror. When you raise your right hand, as you look at your form in the mirror, your form or presence raises your left hand. So your right hand is its left hand, and your left hand is its right hand. So your outward, your manifest dimension of human being is on the image of his name, the inward, the non-manifest. In your inner, your non-manifest dimension is on the form of his name, the apparent, the manifest. Allah is the apparent and the hidden. Allah said, Allah is the protector of those who have faith. From the depths of darkness, he leads them forth into light. That is, he brings them forth from knowing themselves to knowing him. He who knows himself knows his Lord. He is the origin of our existence. Our knowledge of him is a branch of our knowledge of ourselves, as we are the proof, the essential evidence. Just as our existence is a branch of his origin is the root of our existence. The realization of this is the station of equalizing, and this is evenness in the two presences, the original and the after the fact. It is from here that some speak of the unity, but this is a picture. When you go inside, the real meaning you see what is meant. It is in this station that the knowers either ascend to the presence or are driven out or are abandoned. Because in this station it appears to the slave that he is a law, even though he knows that he is a poor slave who is pained by the bite of a mosquito. For this reason, people appear in positions of authority, taking on lordly attributes. The people of Allah are the ones who never stray from the knowledge of neediness and humility and slavehood. If Allah does not give his slave protection, and if his slave does not keep the awareness of his slavehood in front of his eyes, then he can easily slip. To be even in the two presences is expressed in his words, "You did not throw." He negated the fact when you threw. He affirms, "But God threw." Quran 8:17. This station of evenness is the station where no distinction is made between the Lord and the slave, and between the slave and the Lord. He negated the engendered existence of Muhammad and affirmed himself as identical to Muhammad, giving him the name Allah. This is the issue for him who verifies in the meaning of the abandonment of servitude for the elite knowers of God. So in this station, if you were to say master or Lord, you would speak the truth. And were you to say slave, you would be speaking the truth, because were you to say he, it would be the truth. And were you to say he did not throw, it would be the truth. Men of Allah are transformed from states of poverty and humiliation, for when you threw, it was not your act, but Allah's. The state of likeness is the state in which the master and the slave are alike. I am his hand with which he lays hold. Know that for the truth there is an appearance in every part of the creation. He is the apparent in everything understood, and he is the inwardly hidden from any understanding. Nothing in this world is worshipped except by its perceived exaltedness by the worshippers, which appears to him in his heart as a picture. The highest perceived picture is Al-Hawa, which is passion. Nothing is worshipped except through passion. But as he is worshipped only through his essence, through your essence, then you pray for his essence. And even the worship of Allah comes through passion. So if he is in love with the divine existence, but this love is more than passion because there is no humanity, he comes to be in his existence. If he experiences this holy will to love, this is the station of Al-Halaj. The station also comes through knowledge and tasting. And when the knowledgeable slave is in an ecstatic state, he abandons servanthood with respect to his self-control, not with respect to his possibility. The reality of servanthood is to attend to commands. In this case, he is the commander and the command. Allah says, "Seest thou such a one as taketh for his God his own passion or impulse? The man who worships his own passions or impulses or desires is the most hopeless to teach or to lead or to guide. But had he not been in love with the holy existence, he would not have worshipped Allah or preferred him to all else." It is also the case that whoever worships a picture from the dunya or creation and takes it as an idol does so only because of love. The unbelievers wonder, has he made gods all into one god? Truly this is a strange thing. So it is not. It is not that they deny him, but they are perplexed by the unity because they stop with the pictures. This is precisely why proof is set up against them. This proof is established when Allah asks the unbelievers to name their worship, so they will say, "This is a stone and this is a tree." And where is Allah in what you worship? So what perplexes the mind is the unity of the love and his oneness. The unbelievers perceive his oneness but stop with the pictures. That is why he ordered them to give those idols names, and they did not deny Allah. It was said by the authority of Abu Yazid, I saw this deep love in the appearance of divinity sitting on his throne, surrounded by worshippers. I have not seen a greater divinity that is more worshipful than love. It is through love that you avoid the lower passion. If it were not for love, no one would love. Only those who protect themselves from the lower passion receive the garden of protection. The truth of the love is that love, the attribute which is present in the heart, is the cause of all love. Therefore, whoever worships other than Allah, it is because of their being veiled due to the presence of one attribute veiling another attribute. Some worship beauty where they find it and ignore the other attributes. Some worship the sun because Allah manifests warmth in it. Some worship cattle because Allah manifests goodness or wealth in it. Some worship cattle because Allah manifests goodness or wealth in it. Whoever does not worship Allah in all of his attributes will have no proof or evidence, and they were ordered to worship only Allah and to be sincere in the religion. The highest evidence of Allah is his manifestation in woman to man and in man to woman. Asterisk. Footnote. The Arabic word for womb is rahima, derived from the same root as the mercy and all merciful, so that their union is the union of love and mercy in the sensory realm. According to Ibn Arabi, the station of the woman in relation to the man at the root of coming into existence is the same as the station of the womb in relation to the all-merciful, since she is a branch of him, for she emerged in his form. Hence, in our relationship with the all-merciful, God placed us in the station of Eve in relation to Adam. And this is the locus of procreation and the manifestation of the entities of the children. Hence, love and mercy are the seeking of the whole for its part and the part for its whole. The Messenger of Allah, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, said, if I were to order anyone to prostrate, I would order the woman to prostrate to her husband. Because the essences of women reflect the ideals of God and give rise to what truly is, if she surrenders to the man, he has the chance to witness the divine. Allah created this creation called love for himself because he is the giver of this love. Then he blew into him, into Adam, from his spirit, so his love is truly for himself. Then he derived for him from him a person on Adam's form that he called woman. So man is the origin and woman the derivative. And this is why she is called woman, because the name woman means the one who appears later. But she appears in a similar form. The man does not complete himself without the woman, and the woman does not complete herself without the man. And this is so that they arrive at the unity and the witnessing. This is the difference between the love of the spirit and the love of the body. The manifestation of the complete love gives the complete meaning of the unity, so that his yearning for her is his yearning for himself, and her yearning for him is based on her yearning to return home. Allah shows his yearning for man to whom he blew his spirit as Allah's yearning for himself. And man has yearning for his Lord in a way that one has yearning for his homeland. When Eve was taken from Adam, the empty space in Adam was filled with yearning for her. So Adam bends towards Eve just as he bends towards his own self because she is part of him. And Eve bends towards Adam because he is the homeland from which she came. So Eve's love is the love of homeland, and Adam's love is the love for himself. Therefore, man's love for women is manifest, but women's love is concealed because the homeland is not united with her in the same way that she is united with Adam. So when a man looks at a woman, he remembers Allah seeing him. And when she looks at him, he remembers his looking at his Lord. It is for this that Allah placed in the Prophet the love of women. So he was made to love women. This is why he said, I was made to love three things of your dunya, perfume, women, and the satisfaction of my essence in the prayer. This is the insan al-kamil. His gaze is upon his essence, which is the woman. When a man in his animality sees a woman, he looks at the satisfaction of a pleasure. Whereas the Messenger of Allah, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, loves women because of the completeness of the witnessing of al-Haq in them. And al-Haq cannot be witnessed in the abstract, but only in a container. So when a man loves a woman, he is seeking the connection through her. For surely in the world of bodies there is no greater connection than in this pure physical union. The spirit is absent from everything and is with Allah. And so the man experiences annihilation with his spouse, and she experiences annihilation when she is with him. And it is for this reason that Allah ordered ablution after the sexual act, so that they would be purified in all the parts that experience the fana. And this is prescribed for those who are veiled, and it is called the impurity of forgetfulness of Allah. However, the people of Allah, the people of opening and perfection, are the closest to Allah in that union. And this is because of the purity of their witnessing and the perfection of their knowledge. And so they perform the ritual purification out of respect for the outward law, not because they were veiled from the witnessing of Allah. So whoever loves women in this way, this is the divine love. And whoever loves them to satisfy lust has only the picture or form without the spirit. Know that no lover encompasses love completely unless his love is for Al-Haq. That brings us to page 224, inshallah. We'll pick up again the 24th recording. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.